Who's been like the biggest celebrity you guys have done today? No, for real. Like, I mean,
Doug Jones.
Who we've done?
I know it's about Jamie. It's about Jamie Foxx and Sam Jackson.
I saw Sam Jackson. Didn't talk to him.
Yeah. Michael Keaton.
Awesome.
Is he here?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Well, he's at the other thing we went to.
Okay, good, good, good.
Awesome.
Hey.
And guys, no like questions? Minka Kelly, I just saw her.
Okay. Nathan, he's all here.
I think it's Naked Kelly.
Nathan Kelly.
Saw that.
Alright, so what's going on?
What do you know? I don't even. Did you get all the episodes of My Chance on DVD?
No.
I got the first five.
I missed that, yeah.
That's what I got. I haven't seen any of those.
Nobody got
that. They've seen more than we have, so maybe they should be asking you questions.
Oh, I haven't seen
that. But this is sort of weird.
This one coming.
The Sydney one, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, you'll see more coaches in episode 9 and 10 for sure. That's into our finale. You'll learn more about me. And episode 9 coming up, Coach, it's probably like the lowest he's ever been in his life. I can't tell you why, but it's going to be quite a ride for him. And the humans he's been interacting with and learning from, that's a surprise. He didn't know he was going to be learning anything from them. Because he becomes superior, right? I'm more intelligent and stronger. I got technology. What do I need? I'm here to help, right? And it turns out I was here to learn as well. So you'll see that happen in episode 9. So it's probably one of my favorite moments in the show.
No, because that was a weird one. Weird, right?
Weird minute.
Because remember, this will be either it's going to work or it ain't going to work.
Yeah.
You know that was, well, the fans know that's Doug Jones.
I think it was. Yeah.
Well, I tried to affect the difference. Yeah, but they think with my voice is coaching in post-production. Lower it a little and add an echo. Can you tell?
Yeah.
It's my case and my delivery.
Exactly.
But
no, I thought it worked
out.
Okay.
It's really different.
Yeah.
There's a lot. It's really
good.
Yeah. Good.
Oh,
yeah, good.
Weird is bad? Yeah, no. Come on. Right? Why are we sitting here?
It's a dream thing.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the caring dream thing.
Yeah.
I remember it now.
And you're like a professor across the hall.
Yeah, but he keeps kind of like, anyway, okay, cool.
Yeah,
I want to see it.
Yeah.
The thing was the thing. Yeah.
Is Pope ever going to be happy?
I think the show will be over. Hope of the white picket fence mowing a lawn. I think I'd be into Falling Skies. But I don't know. For the time that they have him, no, I hope he stays angry and pissed off. And it's just a great character to have. It really is. Just to add crap to the Masons and the whole situation and all that kind of stuff. It's a great part. So, yeah, I hope that all that animosity and crazy stuff keeps on going. Because it's been working, I think. I think it works pretty good.
But it's happy to be here. I mean, he sort of enjoys being the antagonist.
I think Pope's he's a pessimist, but he's happy about it. It's like, look, there's no end in sight for anybody. Or there isn't. We're all dead. So, therefore, it's the most liberating thing in the world. So therefore, I don't care, and this is it, and I have no expectation to live, let alone the next hour, if the next day, and so therefore it's a very liberating thing. So come hell or high, it's all he's free to do and think and say anything that he wants to do. So he's fearless, because it's like there's nothing left to live for, so he might as well just live for the moment. I think that's what he does.
One of the interesting things about Pope is whenever he's inserted into a storyline, he makes the characters he's with more interesting.
I appreciate that a lot.
It's true. So do you have any input on do you get involved with storylines, or do you reflect
no,
on anything?
No, none. I will say, though, the job as a supporting actor is to hopefully do just that, you know, is to support the action and to do a lot of things, but I really appreciate your saying that. But no, we don't get it. We don't get any say in anything.
Will or Weaver this season.
Oh, I appreciate it. Yeah, no, aside from that, I will say they give me a good measure of latitude. The writers are confident enough in me that I can sometimes stretch the script a little bit. I can go off book a little bit and just kind of, I don't know, sometimes I'll say it and I'll be like, oh, sorry, I said that. And I'm like, no, that was scripted. And then I'll say something else and they'll I was like, I was, you know, thinking, I, whatever. It's great. They give me some latitude. Sometimes I don't know where I'm at, but I'm just kind of free. They give me a freedom to go, so it's just nice.
I think in the first season, they had you becoming a little too soft, and so they made you a little harder in the second season. And this season, you kind of found an area where you can be hard and soft at the same time.
We're giving you a soft and very crunchy. Now the crunchy and the gooey together.
Like, it's lovely.
In your scenes with Weaver, where you can say you have the authority to arrest me, but you have absolutely no right.
Right, yeah.
You know, you can be kind of righteous and angry, yeah, and yet you know what, you know right from wrong, as opposed to in the second season, you kind of didn't give a shit.
Yeah, yeah, I think if anything, that arresting scene, if that had happened in the first season, I'd have fought it, screw you, there would have been a big thing. And I think folks are like, yeah, all right, let's go see what this is going to be like. You're going to arrest me. All right, then let's see what that plays out for.
And even then, you're given information, even though you don't have all the information, the character says, okay, I'm going to take this information and use it for the best of all the people that are here.
Right, yeah.
Instead of being a total jackass,
yeah,
which is where Hope was before.
Right, yeah.
And there's a lot of growth with your character.
No, you're right. And what's nice about it is that it's subtle. It's not a complete
right
flip. It's still,
right,
he's still him, but he's doing things that he wouldn't necessarily have done 2 years ago. So I got to hand that to Raimi and John Worth and all the rest of the great writers on the show for doing that.
And other actors couldn't pull it off. You can, so congratulations.
Well, thank you very much.
I know. Your interaction with Maggie is really great because you can haunt her, but then also care about her at the same time.
Right.
Like the past episode, you were like, something's going to happen, you want me on your side.
Well, see, it's really interesting because I've always played, I play, when I have my scenes with Maggie and Sarah, I always think that there's a sexual history. We were, that's what I've played subtext, always, that we have a history.
I've seen that ever since.
He's always played, hell no, we don't. So it's really weird that you got one character that's very, oh, there's an intimacy that's happening with the other character, but the other character is like, get out of here. So who's, was it in his head or is she lying? You get this weird kind of weird thing maybe happening with it, but that's how I've always played it, you know? Just always thought, hey, you know what? We were together, whether you want to admit it or not. You could have ran away at any time. Yes, it was bad, but I didn't see you, you know, that one night we spent, you were, whatever, you got your reasons, but nobody ever put a gun to your head that night. You know, so that's kind of how I've always thought about it.
Well,
like
at the beginning, though, you basically had captured her and let her go, and that's how Tom found you guys.
Yeah, but also, she's the one who ended up pulling a gun on Hal and the whole nine yards, right? So again, you get a lesson any time. So as bad as or whatever it was, some morning you were still there. You know, and then the next night or whatever, you kept coming back. So that's her character, to her baggage to think about and deal with.
Right.
Do you ever wish that you could be spending all his makeup?
I could do what?
That you could work in all his, that you had a character that you had to wear out of?
I've done a bit of that, man. And I, in fact, all of us at one point in our careers have had appliances and stuff. Now, nobody can hang a candle to Doug in terms of the time it takes.
Yeah.
No, seriously, it really does. The patience and the zone you gotta be in order to do that. Not only for 14, 15 hours a day, but to do it from show to show to show, to have so many characters. It can be really awful. It can be awful.
But
I've seen guys with oxygen pump oxygen masks.
Sure.
Fans down their back and you're overheating, and it's
that's the physical
sucks.
It's physical suckery, it is. But on the flip side of that, when you're wearing a mask that completely alters your appearance, you can play fantasy characters that you cannot do with your own face. It does broaden your spectrum of what you can play, and it also creates a little bit of a safety barrier between you and the camera. It's like, I can do anything I want right now, it's not my face. So when I do, if I dress on another show or do an indie film or something with my own face, I instantly feel naked when I come out and we're filming bits that day. I feel like I've walked out of the house in a Speedo. Now, it's street legal, but it may not be appropriate, you know. That's how I feel about my face.
But I think the approach has got to be much, much different because, you know, for me it might be, to get into my character is a jacket, whereas I would think you'd spend a hell of a lot more time thinking about your walk
Oh, yeah.
A walk. You're walking. I didn't think about my, all right, how does my character walk?
Right.
Somebody like Doug has got to spend a lot of time literally thinking about posture and how the arms flow and any gesticulation at all has got to be thought out, you know? I mean, depending on what you're doing, you know? It's kind of cool.
Did you appreciate this new episode that you didn't have to put all that stuff on?
Oh, gosh, yes. We saved this week's episode to the very last to shoot. We shot these out of order because Noah had to shave. That was my last hurrah on the entire season was wearing a corduroy jacket and sharing Lindsay Vander in the teacher's lounge. I could do that every year. I could, yeah.
Does a lot on a TV show budget as far as effects go.
Exactly.
Does that change how they did your effects? Like, is it different from, like, say, Hellboy or something like that?
Right. Well, effects are getting cheaper every year that passes. More technology is more common, so the price does come down a little bit, thank heaven. But the after effects on Sochi, my eyes are glued into the mask with these gold eyes. So on set, you'll see the eyes kind of giving a blank stare. They look around.
And blink.
They don't blink on set.
They don't blink? No, not on set. They blink on
post-production, right. Yeah. So now in post-production, you see eyes looking around, and there's an eyebrow and eyelid movement. That's all been done with CG enhancements with the Master Effects company that made my face. They also have their digital department that makes my face come to life in the parts that I can't manipulate. So it does take a village. Yeah.
But it's interesting how much you can manipulate.
Wow.
I mean, no, I'm serious, because, I mean, I see your expression through it, and your mouth is articulated, and, I mean, you can see some stuff.
Right. Right.
Those are small little muscles, but the way they build it, I think it's pretty cool.
That's just into it, yeah.
Yeah, that's...
Will you be back on
Neighbors next week? Oh, well, I...